The following program is a presentation of the FlyPod New Media Network, www.theflypod.com.
Hello, you're listening to Donovan Carroll, probably through the FlyPod. Welcome back, and it's been a month, been a long month. Let me tell you, my schooling has been crazy. If you'll remember from the last podcast I did, we talked about my gender studies textbook. And believe you me, have I been reading that book, unfortunately. And rather than just perusing through it like I did last time, I actually have my favorite passage highlighted, which will be tied together toward the end of the podcast, or rather with just a later topic. So I'm just going to read this. I'm going to jump right in, and I'm going to say there is a war on men, a war on boys right now. It's really bothering me, which seems rather astute to talk about because Trump recently rolled back the Obama administration's mandate of birth control. Insurance companies have to provide it. And all these feminists are cackling and saying, wow, there's a big war on women right now. And we got to talk about that because, no, there's not. There's a war on men, a war on boys. So my book here is highlighting what seems to be a adolescent male's sort of rite of passage into the patriarchy, a product of the patriarchy, what they do. I'm just going to read this passage, and it's going to be wild. Sexual matters, too, may occasion none or less friendly rivalry amongst men in terms of who engages first in sexual intercourse, a common competition amongst adolescent males, as is also the contest to see who can ejaculate the greatest volume of semen, or who can ejaculate the farthest, who is successful in bedding a woman desired by several men, and so on. Penis size also becomes something over which men compete, from childhood and adolescence onward, whether by explicit comparison or by more or less covert sneak peeks in communal showers, changing rooms, and public toilets. We return to the issue of penis size later in this chapter. Okay, I don't know what kind of friends the author of this book had when he was an adolescent male, but I can assure you, I've ran with a lot of circles, I know a lot of people, I have never met a single man who has ever, ever seen who can ejaculate the most voluminous semen, or who can ejaculate the furthest. Now sure, guys joke about, hey, I can bed that really attractive woman over there before you can. Personally, I know guys who have done that, but I've never ran with circles where guys do that. That's not common for adolescent males to look at each other and say, hey, while we're playing Super Smash Bros. On our Wii, let's see who can ejaculate the furthest. That's just not a thing. And the reason this passage disturbs me so much is because it automatically paints boys as product of this imaginary patriarchy, and it automatically paints boys as toxically masculine. If a woman were to read this book and say, wow, it's common for adolescent males to see who can ejaculate the greatest volume of semen and see who can ejaculate the furthest, she would be like, wow, men are pigs, men are disgusting, I think young boys are idiots, and I think they're the worst. But guess what? It doesn't happen. That doesn't happen. Like I said earlier, my friends and I, when we were in middle school, elementary school, we weren't sitting around and saying, hey, let's quit playing Mario Strikers, let's quit digging this hole in the woods, let's stop building this dam to see who can ejaculate the furthest. That didn't happen. Rather astutely, I'm going to transition into a PragerU video. Surprise, surprise. A PragerU video featuring Michelle Thompson. She says, girls are considered the gold standard in school. Girls are considered the gold standard in school. Are we surprised? Boys are in lower grades, fewer honors, are less likely to go to college, subject to disapproval. If you'll remember, a school offered counseling for a young boy, I think he was 7, who bit his Pop-Tart into a gun shape and said, pew! And that warranted a suspension and counseling. Also, finger guns. As recently as when I was in preschool in 2000 and 2001, no finger guns were allowed. I said pew pew and I got yelled at once and I didn't understand why. In K through 12, boys account for 70% of suspensions. schools are more feeling-centered. They're more competition-free. Everyone gets a participation trophy. Recesses are cut back. They're shorter. Some schools don't even have them anymore, which is exactly antithetical to what a boy needs. A young boy cannot be sedentary for 7 hours a day. And then you're surprised when they get suspended because they make a Pop-Tart gun and went pew-pew. I'm sorry. That's not what a boy needs. And then when they get older, it sucks to be a man, because men are roughly 4 times more likely to commit suicide, and yet Huffington Post runs a story about the spike in female suicide. Well, that's wonderful. It still pales in comparison to the male suicide rate. But why are there 4 times as many scholarships for women instead of men? Why do young, single, childless women out-earn men in big cities? And that's a study according to Heritage Foundation. And then another study according to the University of Michigan. Why do men receive prison sentences that are 63% higher for the same crime? Why are moms more likely than dads to get child support in virtually every state? Why do 30% of custodial fathers not receive child support for the mother versus 25% of custodial mothers who don't? That's a 7% disparity. That is a lot. Why do women get more college degrees? Why, for men ages 18 to 34, only 25% of men say marriage is a priority versus 37% of women? Again, an 8% disparity is a lot. Of course, that last statistic strikes me. Men don't want to get married. Gee, I wonder why young millennial men, 18 to 34, don't want to get married. Well, when we're in college, we're told that women are oppressed. We're told by feminists that we don't need no stinking man because they're strong and independent. And it's kind of a double win for guys because A, they don't have to be the breadwinner, and B, they can get all the sex they want without consequences because women objectifying themselves through the use of birth control and free condoms handed out by the university is empowering or something. Don't really understand it. And then, of course, you had the Google thing. Today's girls, tomorrow's leaders. Would they ever do something like that for boys? Today's boys, tomorrow's leaders? No. The answer is no, they would not. And by the way, women are obviously becoming leaders. They're earning more college degrees. They out-earn men. Single women out-earn men in cities. They get shorter prison sentences, etc., etc. Just rewind the podcast and listen to everything I just said. And then, of course, we have the recent development of the Boy Scouts controversy. Boy Scouts are now going to let women into the Boy Scouts. Why? I don't know. Political correctness? Matt Walsh, one of my favorite bloggers, said, "We're told by feminists and liberals that men are racist, but we're also told by feminists and liberals that men should go into girls' locker rooms and girls should go camping with Boy Scouts." I think a lost thing here is genders just bonding with each other. This might be harsh, but I have trouble feeling that a woman can just be one of the guys. I do. I have trouble with that, because if a woman's just one of the guys, I don't understand. Sometimes there's a male bonding there that you get in Boy Scouts, for example, that you're not going to get with girls present. Boys will probably be able to join Girl Scouts in no time, and I don't think that's right either. I think genders bond in a certain way when they're by themselves. 100%. You know, at the university I go to, the Catholic Student Union has these gender-exclusive retreats, and then they'll do one big retreat where that's co-ed and everyone's allowed. But these gender-exclusive retreats that I've been on, the men-only ones, are so much more in-depth. I feel so much closer to the retreatants. I feel like I open up to the men. I feel like we bond, we hang out, we talk, we have the best discussions, we shoot guns, we cut wood, we do all sorts of things that we probably wouldn't do if women were present. We sit around the fire, we drink a beer, we smoke a cigar, and we have a really good time. I don't think it would be that way if women were there. I just don't. Of course, I don't know if I'm being transphobic by suggesting that a woman present is actually a woman. I know she identifies as male. And according to my gender studies textbook, gender is simply a social construct, so we need to accept vaginas into the Boy Scouts. You might be asking, where does it say that women can't be in the Boy Scouts? It doesn't say that anywhere. Well, in the name, Boy Scouts. As Ben Shapiro puts it, he said, it's in the name, Boy Scouts. But yes, check out that PragerU video with Michelle Thompson. She talks a lot about the war on boys, and it's only roughly a 5-minute video. I think gender studies, especially our universities, where women are taught that birth control and sex is somehow empowering, while they get to be the primary breadwinner, and they deny their own bodily, I don't know what you call it, bodily autonomy, their own bodily purpose, The thing that I don't understand about this birth control push is women are actually denying their own bodily function. Everything that a woman can do that a man can't do, spare children and be nurturing, a woman is denying when she uses birth control. So I don't really understand it. I don't understand why they think it's more feminine to use birth control and have all the sex you can have, because it is quite literally denying a woman the greatest unique thing about her, and that is her ability to bring life into this world. In fact, a lot of theologians in the Catholic circles consider women perhaps a tabernacle, like the Virgin Mary was a tabernacle to Christ when he was born, and a lot of women mirror that. That's why they veil. That's why traditionally women veiled in churches, because they were symbolically tabernacles, not walking in the footsteps of the Virgin Mary. But that's sexist, so... But anyways, I'd like to do more on birth control. I'd like to do more on the war on boys. I'd like to keep updating you about my adventures in gender studies. And we're going to be talking a little bit more about religion and how that plays into authentic masculinity and femininity and how those things are gone. To wrap things up here, there is a war on boys. Birth control is stupid. And you should follow me on Twitter at Donovan Carroll, capital M, no spaces. Follow me on Twitter, tell your friends about the Fly Pod and about millennial musings, and y'all can have a good day. Thank you.